As it was announced, this evening's scripture reading will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I'm actually going to read through verse 9, because that's what I practice and that's what I want to do. So the English Standard Version reads, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." That was 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 9.
Good to be with you tonight. One of the great things about the Bible is that it is filled with examples for us to follow. And some of those examples are good examples. We certainly should follow the good examples. In fact, that is what we're encouraged to do. Paul, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And so actually, if we follow the example that Paul set before us, if we try our best to live the way Paul lived, we'll really be following Christ, because that's what Paul was doing. And Paul also encourages us, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 just for a moment. Paul encourages us to follow examples from good brethren. In Philippians chapter 3, and at verse 17, this is what Paul says about this. Philippians chapter 3 and at verse 17. He says, "Brothers, join in imitating me." Then he says, "And keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us." And so he's encouraging them not only to imitate him, but to continue to look among them, to watch for other brethren who are following his example and follow their example. And that's always a wonderful thing to do. We have all kind of good examples, brethren here at Brown Street, men and women that we can look at and see how they're living their life, and we can actually be better by following their example. It's always, of course, based on them following Christ, but we can learn from one another. And so it's good to follow good examples. Now, the Bible also warns us about bad examples. And Paul did that. If you turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you might remember that's what this entire chapter just about, or the first section of it, I should say, really is all about. He's warning the saints at Corinth not to follow the poor examples that were set by the Old Testament saints. So he says at verse 6, he says, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. And you get the point of that. So they could actually learn from bad examples. You never want to follow the bad examples, but we can learn from them. Now, one example of that is the church at Corinth itself. The church at Corinth was a mess. And we can learn, we can look at the problems that they had and determine not to be like that. So turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to be dealing with the first three verses. Not nine. But anyway, we'll deal with the first three verses here. And what we're going to find out on Sunday nights, I like just to zero in on one particular thought. And that's what we're going to do with this particular passage. The church at Corinth, again, was a mess. They had all kind of problems. They had levels of problems, from pride to a lack of love, to ignoring sin. And they were just a spiritual wreck. But a lot of it pointed back to this one thing, and that is that they were immature in Christ. And they weren't getting better. Eventually, after Paul wrote this scathing letter here, some of them repented. In fact, the majority of the church did repent and listen to the direct teaching of Paul. It's very hardcore. He doesn't take it easy on them at all. But there was several, a handful of those saints who just refused to repent. But the source of their problems really was that they were not spiritually minded. They were immature in Christ, and they really weren't growing. In fact, they were getting worse. And we can learn from that. One thing I want us to take away from this is how important it is for all of us here tonight to grow in Christ, to be spiritually minded enough to continue to improve in our faith, to grow in our faith and become stronger and stronger. Because that's exactly what the Corinthians didn't do. So, as Paul addresses them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 1, he says, "But I, brothers," and he's starting off in a very polite way. He wants to remind them he's about to say some harsh things. It doesn't mean he has hostility towards them. It doesn't mean he doesn't love them. They are his brothers. But they need to hear the cold truth about where they are in Christ. So he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people." Now that would be a slap in the face. Wouldn't it be terrible if an apostle said to you, "I can't address you as spiritual"? Like, that's exactly what we want to be as Christians. We want to be spiritual people. We want to be spiritually minded. It is a terrible thing to be described as someone who is not spiritual. But that's where they were. They were not spiritual. And so he says, "I could not address you as such," but he says, "but as people of the flesh." And I want you to remember that word flesh. The Greek word here is sarkinos. It ends in N-O-S. It comes from the Greek word sarx. But that when it ends in N-O-S, it simply means, he's using it metaphorically, and it means to be fleshy. It's describing their immaturity in Christ. And so he follows that up by saying, "as infants in Christ." That's where they were. They were a bunch of babies, spiritually speaking. They were acting childish because they were fleshy. And so he is letting them know this is why. In fact, when you look at verse 2, he says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food." Now, the Corinthians, of course, they were Gentiles, and Greeks, a lot of times, they put a lot of stock in knowledge. They love knowledge, particularly of the secular nature. And one of the knocks that they had against Paul was that his teaching was elementary. And they didn't like that because they're Gentiles who love knowledge. They want to hear and learn new things and deep things. And Paul was just too fundamental. He was just too elementary. Well, Paul is telling them now, this is why it is. Like, Paul was brilliant. We all know that. As Bible students, we know Paul was versed in Judaism. He knew some secular things. He often quotes philosophers and poets because he was an educated man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher amongst the Jews. He was one of his top students. And so Paul was brilliant. He could have spoken in a very a deeper way than he did to the Corinthians. But the fact of the matter is they weren't ready for it. And that's what he tells them now. That's what he's explaining to them now. I fed you with milk, not solid food. Why? For you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready. Now you stop and think about that. So at first he's talking about what he had tried to teach them previously. And he couldn't because they just weren't ready. They were infants in Christ. They were babes. But he closes verse 2 by saying, even you are not yet ready. They weren't growing, weren't they? They were immature before, and now, as time has passed, they continue to be immature. They didn't do the things necessary to be fed solid meat. And that's a problem, because when you're not growing, you're not going to just get to a place and remain neutral. You're sooner or later, you're going to start getting weaker. And that's exactly what happened with them. This is not a unique situation. You might remember that the Hebrews writer had the same problem with his audience. It was a different audience. He was addressing Jews who were Christians, those who came out of Judaism, and they were thinking about going back to Judaism, and that was all because they were immature. And so in Hebrews chapter 5 and beginning at verse 11, the Hebrews writer pretty much had to deal with the same thing. Hebrews chapter 5 and at verse 11. Let's read a few verses from this particular place. Hebrews the 5th chapter and at verse 11. It says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Sounds a whole lot like what Paul was saying to the saints at Corinth, doesn't it? Because they were wrestling with the same problem. They were immature in the faith. And listen, there's nothing wrong. We've often said there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ at the right time. In fact, it's wonderful to have babes in Christ in a congregation like this. That means that some people have obeyed the gospel of Christ, and nothing's better, more exciting than that. But you don't want to be a babe. Those of you who have recently obeyed the gospel, you don't want to be a babe 5 years from now. But sometimes that's what you have. You have those in Christ who continue to be immature. A lot of times it's because they're not spiritually minded. So they continue to be babes in Christ for years and years and years. That's not a good thing. Like all of you who have obeyed the gospel recently, a year from now, like you might think to yourself, you know, sometimes I don't have a clue what Don's talking about. That's okay. A year from now, you should be able to say, you know, I kind of understand what he's saying. 5 years from now, you should be able to teach me because you're growing, you're maturing in Christ. And as a result, you're getting stronger and stronger and more spiritually minded. That's what we want. That should be the case with all of us. Even those of you who are seasoned saints, you haven't reached the apex of your spirituality yet. You're not as good as you can get. We all need to be growing in Christ. The very opposite of what they were doing at Corinth, and the very opposite of what these Hebrew Christians were doing. And so notice what he goes on to tell them in Hebrews chapter 5. He has to give them milk. They can't take solid food. He says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Again, nothing wrong with being a child spiritually at the right time. But he points out here, you all should be teachers by now. Like, you should be going out and teaching your Jewish friends and family members who haven't obeyed the gospel about Jesus Christ and all that you can have in him. But instead, they were on the brink of apostasy. They were on the brink of leaving Jesus altogether. They were immature. And that was the problem with these saints at Corinth. Go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and at verse 3 again, he says, now, for you are still of the flesh. Now, that word flesh is a little different. Comes from that same base, sarx, but it ends with K-O-S. Instead of sarkinos, it is sarkinos. And it's very close. Sounds close, doesn't it? Nos, kos, sounds close. But they're very different. Sarkinos has to do, as I said, just with being immature. You're fleshly. He's using it metaphorically. Sarkikos means to be under the control of the flesh. That's a lot worse. As Thayer says, it means to be dominated by the flesh. These are people that are demonstrating in their life the works of the flesh. But that's the end result of a person who is just fleshly and immature and not growing. You're not going to just stay in neutral. You're going to get weaker. You're going to get worse. And while at some point it might be said that you're just fleshly, sooner or later, the flesh is going to take over and you're going to be dominated by the flesh. That's what's going on at Corinth. They were a mess. And this is why they were filled with pride and they were suing each other in court and they were tolerating sexual immorality and they were doing all of these things because they had become not just fleshly, but they were dominated by the flesh. All because they didn't do the things necessary for them to grow and go forward. And again, with the Hebrew Christians, the result of that situation was them being on the brink of apostasy. Here, it was just their carnal behavior. Notice the language that he uses at the end of verse 3. He says again, for you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, and listen to it, and behaving only in a human way? They weren't spiritual at all. You don't want to be behaving only in a human way. You want to be led and guided by the Spirit of God, which means instead of demonstrating the works of the flesh in your life, you will have the fruit of the Spirit. You will be living a spiritual life because you're spiritually minded, and that all comes from growing and maturing in Christ. And that should be the goal of every one of us. All of us, again, not just the babes here, but all of us. Next year, we should be stronger. You should know more Bible next year. Your faith should be more sturdy next year. Everything about your life from a spiritual standpoint should be better and stronger. You should be more committed, just everything, because you're going forward and growing. And we have to learn from this example. You say, well, I don't really want to put in the effort to do all of that. I'm just good the way I am. The problem is you're not going to stay the way you are. You're going to end up getting weaker And that's just the way. It's like it's been described like someone riding, trying to ride a bike uphill and you stop pedaling. What's going to happen? You're not going to just sit there. If sooner or later, even if you're not on a hill, you just even on flat ground, you stop pedaling. That bike is going to go over. May take a few seconds, but that bike is going to go over. If you're on a hill, you're going to start going back. That's not a good thing. We don't want to do that spiritually. We want to keep riding uphill towards God, towards heaven. We want to be drawing nearer to God. But to do that, we have to be spiritually minded and we have to purposely do what we can to grow in Christ. Is that the way you're living your life right now? If not, you merely have to look at the Corinthians. Look at the mess that it got them in. Look at those Hebrew Christians who were actually about to leave Christ and go back to the inferior, back to the old law where there was no salvation at all. That's exactly what will happen to us. The outcome might be a little different. It just depends on who you are, what your life is like. But if you stop growing in Christ, the end result is not going to be good. Let's be mature Christians. Even those of you who are babes in Christ, right now, do what you have to do. Study more. Pray more. Attend as many services as you can. All the services if you possibly can. Some can't, we know. But you do everything you can to be at all the services. When a gospel meeting comes, you want to be there every night. You want to do everything you can to grow in Christ and mature. Because when you do that, again, you get closer and closer to God. But if you don't, you're going to get weaker and weaker, and the flesh sooner or later is going to take over, and you'll find yourself, and it will seem like it came out of nowhere, but you'll find yourself all of a sudden being dominated by the flesh, just like the Corinthians. Let's learn from their bad example. We don't want to follow them. We want to do the opposite. But let's learn from where they went wrong. Are you subject to the imitation of Christ? Maybe you are a member of the church and you have drifted backwards. The good thing is that we serve a merciful God who in this dispensation has given us a way to come back to Him, to be reconciled, to be redeemed from our sins. All you have to do is repent and ask God for forgiveness. And John said, God will be faithful and just. If your repentance is real, God will be faithful and just to forgive you. Do what you have to do. If you've sinned publicly, come forward. Let us pray for you and encourage you, get you back on track where you can start growing and be spiritually minded once again. You do that tonight before it's too late. If you've never obeyed the gospel, God, again, is a gracious God, seen by His plan of salvation. That makes salvation accessible to everyone. You want to be saved? You simply need to believe and be baptized. Mark 16 at verse 16. You can do that this very night. You'll come out of the waters of baptism a new creature in Christ and have a new relationship with God. Start living a new life and your destiny will be heaven. Why not do that? What's more important than that? Do whatever you have to do. Be restored or enter into the family of God for the first time right now. But don't procrastinate. Come forward as we together stand and sing.